I'm Debbie Dashinger. Welcome to Dare to Dream. Be inspired to live big and bold and take action to turn your dreams into your reality. Go beyond obstacles and limits of your thinking. Accelerate results to catapult yourself to success. I'm a visibility expert who gives media makeovers to clients, booking them on media interviews and turning their books into international bestsellers with guaranteed results. Join me at DebbieDashinger.com. Dare to do great things. Dare to shine. It's all about you becoming a visionary and leading the pack. Welcome to your daring new life.
Debbie Dashinger, welcome to Dare to Dream. This is the show that has been nominated for two People's Choice Podcast Awards. It is your number one transformation conversation. And this is where I get the most masterful people, as far as I'm concerned, often on the planet, to have that level of conversation. The show has also been nominated for a Webby Award, and we are, as far as Apple Podcasts are concerned, we're syndicated on 40 outlets, but on Apple Podcasts, we are number 200 in self-improvement completely. And by the way, that's thanks to you. If you weren't tuning in, if you weren't leaving reviews or subscribing, I wouldn't be here. But it's been almost 13 years I've been doing this show, and I'm still here because I love it. So I have the great honor to introduce you today to someone you may or may not know, but we're going to find out more about, Karen Reese.
Howdy, Reese's Pieces.
Reese's Pieces. I've seen her yesterday. She did a workshop here at the Conscious Life Expo, which is a combo platter of mediumship, psychic ability, and definitely a comedy entertainment show. So it was really enjoyable. I loved watching you. But what I really want to start out with, so people have a full sense, you do way more than what I just described, because I've seen your website.
Yes.
It's pretty prolific. So will you talk about all of what you offer and all of the gifts you've been bestowed?
Yes, but I don't cook, just so you know.
Okay, that's off the table.
That's off the table.
We're going to a restaurant after this.
Well, the way you think. Well, I was born as a natural psychic medium. You know, everybody has an ability, but some people actually with anything else, you know, are better than others. But I do lectures, I've written books, I've taught classes, so, and I've done a lot of speaking engagements as well. So, and I produced my own TV show back home in Buffalo, Channel 5. And I've been on a lot of TV.
Okay, two things, and there may be three. Sales background. You have a huge sales background.
Yes, I'm a former stockbroker. I was one of the youngest female stockbrokers back in the day. I was in college. I was studying arts and science, thinking maybe I'll be a plastic surgeon. My first year in college in laboratory class, I realized I couldn't take the smell of like urine and, you know, blood.
Kind of important.
Yeah, I just thought maybe I'm in the wrong field. And I was waitressing at the time, and I saw an advertisement to be a stockbroker, so I went down. I'll never forget the interview at the time. The gentleman said, "What does positive mean?" I said, "Well, things look good. What about negative? Things look bad. Here's a book. You know, take the test." And that's what I did. Then I rolled into cold calling. So I learned a lot about business, and then eventually switched my degree in business. I'm always like yes backwards on things, but what the heck.
But I would imagine, especially, you know, spiritual entrepreneurs often have a difficult time making money. It's a big thing, that valuing oneself, but, you know, I think a lot of past life stuff. But if you have this level of background, plus your abilities, plus sort of the showmanship that you bring forward, I'm assuming you do very well, that you can navigate all this because you have this business acumen.
Yes, I have to say I'm very good with the business side of things, but I always tell people when it comes to money, money is an exchange of energy. So if you just treat it for what it is, it's a good tool to use if you use it in the proper direction. But I have a very different background compared to most people in the industry. You know, I look at things more business, you know, more in a business type of ideas as opposed to what most people do in this industry.
So I'd like to exchange energy with you right now.
Oh, you poor honey.
I want some money, basically. And the other thing, art. Now, this is a year ago. I read, and so correct me and fill in the blanks, but there's something you're doing artistically, but literally, around painting or drawing?
Yes. My favorite thing since I was a kid, I was always an artist. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes in my work, I'll draw portraits of maybe a dead person or a criminal scene, things along that line. You know, so I don't always put it out there because I'm very busy and it is a little time consuming, but I do utilize that skill set as well when I'm doing my reading. So again, it's not your natural or typical, you know, psychic medium.
And the paranormal, okay, so I'm assuming when you say that, that people, police, et cetera, have come to you with cold cases and you've helped them out. Can you tell us, like, share a really crazy story?
Oh yeah, this is a funny story. I got a lot of funny stories. So I received a call from a woman, her sister went missing, and I said, well, I sense that your sister was buried in Arizona. The name of her husband, husband was Tom, he's involved, all these things. And she was just a telephone reading. And she said, would you mind speaking to the law enforcement agency? Now, I'm in New York, this woman is in California. Her sister, unfortunately, was in Arizona, or the woman I was speaking to was in California, her sister was in Arizona there. Her husband had killed, and so I had called the police enforcement agency up in Nebraska. It all sort of tied in some weird way. And I'll never forget when I was first speaking to the police officer, I said to him, I said, oh yeah, you're connected to somebody by the name of Kathy, and the name is, like, I'll just say McGregor. He goes, how did you know that? She's sitting right next to me. I'm like, because I'm a psychic. You know, because I had no idea. I didn't know anybody at the station. Well, then he didn't want to go too public with it. But as we were talking, I said, I see this barn, and it's coming out of the ground. And I'm hearing Lancaster, which was interesting, because at the time I was living in Lancaster, New York, but this was Lancaster, Nebraska. Mm-hmm. So there were all these, like, kind of interesting tie-ins. And then I went on to say, I said, what did I tell him? I saw Lyme and a few other things. Oh, and then I started getting the last name of the perpetrator. It ended up working out that that was exactly what ended up happening. It was the husband, I had his last name, whole description of him. And the gentleman that I was working with, he was just like, I can't believe you're coming up with all this information. Oh, and then I mentioned to him while I was talking, this is always funny because, you know, sometimes you get these toughies. And I said, oh yeah, your ex-wife, whatever her name is, I think I said Sharon at the time, because I'm really good with names and numbers, as you saw yesterday. And I said a few other things in relation to his relationship with him. And that was something only he knew. And so it was kind of funny watching him, you know, like, shit his pants. You know? Because at first he's like, I don't really believe in this. And that's when I started rolling when we first connected. And then he's like, writing this down. And I said, if you want to send me pictures, I can tell you more about it. But this is what I see. And then eventually he did send me pictures. And it was exactly the way I saw it in my mind's eye, with all the particulars. But
were they able to find conclusive evidence, excuse me, once they went in?
Oh, yeah.
Because that's the other piece of the case. You can't just rest a case and say, well, the psychic said this and this. Based on what you were leading them to, they were able to find the evidence to back it up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's crazy. I've worked with a lot of law enforcement and FBI, too. Actually, funny story. So years ago, I was doing a reading with this person, and I said, I see law enforcement around you. And he was trying to be a toughie about it, right? And I'm laughing. And then we went a little further, and then he finally admitted, he says, oh yeah, I'm an FBI agent, or, you know, retired. I said, oh, good for you. And then all of a sudden I said, and your father-in-law said to check out the stock. And I think at the time it was like TWO. It was a stock I hadn't been following. I'd been out in the market for a while. And I said, you know, get in and then get out, you know, probably within 10 days, get in. It's a fast move. Well, thank God I was right on the money, because he got in within 10 days, he got out, and then the stock dropped, but he had made like a 15%, like, you know, hit on it. Should have taken a commission on that one.
Hello.
Oh my God. Where were you?
I know.
I get it.
We're going to play this. This guy.
Shark Tank, yeah, right. But my biggest thing is, thank God I gave him the right advice, because, you know, it's the FBI or retired FBI. You always know who to.
You want
to
be on the good side.
On the good side, exactly.
I was very fascinated because yesterday you had a big audience and you were looking out, and some people had questions and you were helping them, and some people, their dead people around them, were calling to you for their attention to communicate. But I've often thought, I don't have a lot of people who have passed. So I will go into a room where there's a medium such as yourself and think, no one's going to call on me. I don't think anyone's waving a flag to go, there's just a few of us. So, I mean, does it... What is that like for you? Does there have to be like a big song and dance going on behind somebody that you see? Is there like an army of people ad infinitum, or is it just occasionally like a little blip in the crowd?
You know, it depends on the person. You know, sometimes people are more popular, you know, on the other side with people here. So as a psychic and a medium, I'm getting information one way or the other side, with your past, present, you know, predictions, or dead people. And sometimes they're really loud, sometimes they're softer, you know, but when you're in a big room like that, you get people actually fighting on the other side. So, you know, if you got a couple popular living people compared to the other side, you know, sometimes you got a mother and an aunt, you know, I want to talk to my niece, I want to talk to my son, or whatever,
You know. And I was thinking too, because there were times when you had to say, oh, okay, like, you know, you could see you were navigating because you were saying, they're saying a lot. And I was relating in the sense that I'm clairsentient, right? I'm clairsentient, claircognizant. And there are times I'm working with a client and there's suddenly this big space because I'm not saying a word. And I have to check in, I've learned to check in with them and say, please excuse me. It feels like I'm in a board meeting, a boardroom, and everybody's saying something. And I literally, it's a lot for me. And I have to get quiet for a moment and just either say to everybody, thank you for sharing, I need to be back here, or, you know, you need to hold this, or I really got that, and then come back. It's like a cacophony, a symphony happens at once.
Oh yeah, right? It's crazy. You hear, you know, a myriad of different voices. Usually I just say, shut up and stop talking so I can pay attention telepathically.
Because otherwise...
You take your turn. Oh yeah, I'll say that to deaf people telepathically. People don't know that. Oh, and some of the stories you get from, you know, the deaf people that blow in the living people. Girl, it could be a good, you know... like inquiry minds and so on and so forth.
Really?
Oh yeah, sometimes you'd be surprised. That's why I laugh when people try to play, you know, let's test the psychic. I'm like, okay, let's test the psychic, because you never know what you're going to get. And sometimes you get some funny things, so.
Interesting. So you have to have discernment when you're reporting back to somebody in the audience.
You hope, but there are times.
Oopsie.
Does this make sense to you? You know? And that does happen, because you have no control over who, what, or where. You know, that comes in, so I always laugh. And I'll tell you another funny thing is there are a lot of psychics out there, so-called psychics, that will always say that, you know, that you have a grandmother or grandfather. Or, you know, they'll look at somebody's age, where I can actually, I've come in and I'll say, you know, I've got a nephew here, I have a, you know, best friend. Or when you have young people, a lot of times people can't penetrate that. Like we had one yesterday, that young gentleman, Joe. Mm-hmm. You know, and here I'm picking up his grandmother with her name, Fame, what have you. But, you know, a lot of times psychics kind of shy away from those, or they're just not that strong. Mm. Unlike me, though. I talk to anybody, dead or alive.
That's like a new show, Dead or Alive. Come on in. The party's open.
We like parties.
When you talk to a dead person, so here's my big question. So somebody's passed, right? My people have passed. It's been a while, my two people, anyway. But I'm always curious when they come through. But there's reincarnation.
That's a great question. A lot of people ask me.
How does that work?
Most people will wait until you arrive back home. So, you know, not necessarily, you know, like, I hear this all the time. It really offends me. And I hate when people say, well, so-and-so's not here because they've reincarnated or they haven't been there long enough. That's all a bunch of nonsense. I've had people die the same day. Just had it happen recently. And they appear. When it comes to reincarnation, most people will wait. You know, when you get to heaven, you'll see your mom and your dad. It's not as though they're going to, you know, move on. So usually, you know, there's about a 50-year wait before most people, you know, gather up and come back down again. It's not, you know, well, your mother's not here because she reincarnated. Oh, yeah, no.
Is it concurrent too? Can somebody have made the choice? Well, of course, the choice isn't just to come back here. The choice can be, there's many choices, right? Or to not come at all, or to go to another planet or another life form, or you may want to be channeled, you know, in a soul group. There's a lot of choices ad infinitum. And can they do that? And thank you for holding for me. Can they do that? But at the same time, have their last life energy come through to you in order to communicate. Did that make sense?
Yes, it makes sense. But typically, once you reincarnate, you're in the body. So as far as communicating with that person, chances are they're not going to be available. Mm. But that's, again, you know, you're going back usually about 100 years, 50, 75 to 100 years. You know, there may be a few exceptions. If somebody chooses not to reincarnate, or they want to take some time off, or if they want to go to a different dimension, you have all those choices. And you can do all that. Like, when I die, I just want to chillax for a while. I want to chill out. Champagne, too.
Exactly. It's a beautiful thing. Nothing can harm you. What about people who suffer? So I was thinking, you know, if somebody has passed that you really love, and you're doing a reading for them, and they're suffering for the loss... And I heard you say, you know, this person comes and they actually put their arm around you, even though they've passed. They know you're suffering. My question is, though, how can we be more cognizant of that, more aware, more receiving of their beingness and also their participation with us and knowing what we're going through, so we can receive more of that love and connection rather than separating and being so much in the suffering.
You know, that is a great question. Meditation, to open up your sensitivities and just believing with what you get. So if you suddenly think of somebody on the other side that you're connected to, chances are they're trying to connect to you telepathically, and just being open to it. And the more you become open to accepting that, you'll start to sense more of the presence. Or you can look for things like, you know, lights flickering, or TV's going on and off, or, you know, you might see something dark on, you know, you're watching TV and you think you saw something dark walk past you. So those are some of the things. And drinking champagne.
Okay.
Good spirits with the other spirits.
You know? Right. I'm a big wine person, so I hope, you know, if they can get down with that, I can get down with that. Red wine is on its way.
Girls go.
And do you do any work with angels or guides?
I occasionally do. Usually I put them to work. That's probably why they don't want to visit often. You know, what is he responding now? You know, but Gabriel is probably the one angel that I've had my most interaction with. And I've met Jesus and Mary. I'm not religious. I'm spiritual. I tell people take the best, leave the rest, because nobody has a monopoly on God or goodness, you know, for that, you know, matter. But there's always something that we can learn. But occasionally I'll work with them. Usually it's Gabriel or Honey. I'll never forget, though.
Why? Gabriel?
Oh, I've got the honey-do list. Okay, and God, we got to talk about that animal thing again. And I do bitch at God, just so you know. People say, you bitch at God? I'm like, yeah, God created me. He's okay with it. Be yourself. It's all about intention, you know. If you have the right intention, and if you're, you know, doing things for the right reasons, and you have a good heart, you know, what's wrong with that?
Mm.
Like, really? I hate when people say, you can't scream at God. I go, really? So you're going to be nice to God, but your head's going to be saying how much you're pissed off at him? God's going to know that.
Mm.
So just keep it real.
I've been there and I've lived. I mean, I was not struck down and I was still loved. So, you know.
Everybody loves you. This is such a great show.
God loves me. The audience loves me. What right now, Karen, is cutting edge? To me, so much is changing, possible, going apart. But being tapping into the matrix of everything that's happening, what can you share about, like, unveil something or some things that we should know about that would be really helpful, of import, take notice of, or we may be focusing on something and there's actually something else going on?
Well, there's a couple of different things that I find fascinating. First, I got to talk about technology, because I love how technology is really being able to pick up, you know, the other side. You're hearing, you know, recordings. I did a haunted place one time, and as I was going through it, I had this older gentleman who had passed away, like, right around the turn of the century. He was wheel-bound, and then he had a nephew, like, three generations later. It was this big castle place in Herkimer, New York. And throughout the reading, the two of them would follow me, his great-grandson that committed suicide, and this gentleman. At the end, they played the recorder back, and he kept hearing, Karen, Karen, Karen. Yeah, I kept saying, come home, clean the house, do the dishes. I didn't do that. Start the recording.
Your own subliminal.
Just saying, hey, Jack, you know, you follow me around your house, you know. But I find technology, white noise, like, so cool, you know. And the more it evolves, the more we'll start to see, you know, beings on camera. You know, there's all sorts of crazy stuff, you know, creepy stuff and very cool things. So I love that. But also I think auras. People are starting to see auras now, so you're really beginning to see, you know, like a lighter, you know, a lightness trying to come down to the earth, trying to, you know, work out the darker energies. So as time goes on, more and more people say, oh, I see a glow around your head, you know, your body, so.
That reminds me, what's a good way to cleanse? So let's say, you know, like Rob and I play around with shamanism and some of the things out there, and I get curious because all of this essentially opens you up. Right?
Yeah.
And I'm very cautious, especially as a sensitive, I'm very cautious about keeping myself clean.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I literally do a salt bath every day and have sage and have some practices. But what's a good way, especially now with so much a high vibration and possibility of opening ourselves to, as a portal, how can we keep ourselves, any negative energies away and very clean? Very safe.
Well, from a physical point of view, electrolytes, you want to make sure you balance with that, because you can, you know, as you do this type of work, it's easy to just decrease it. The other thing, too, I would say, you know, keeping your thoughts in a higher realm than meditation, so that you can kind of infuse those two worlds.
And, how do you meditate?
I'm going to take my bed. I don't do any of the structures. I never have been a structured person. That's why I'm self-employed. That's a whole other thing. Just go about my world. It's my world today. I do my way, you know.
Exactly.
But I actually lay in my bed and I'll put like a eye mask on, some beautiful music. Sometimes I fall asleep, but I go out of body. It's the best experience. And I'll just, you know, pick a mantra. You know, I love numbers. A lot of times I'll do, you know, 98, 97, deeper as I say the numbers. And then I'll just go outside and then I'll visualize myself sometimes walking downstairs. And next thing, I'll open up a door and, you know, sometimes I'll feel my body just lifting up. Sometimes I've stood next to my body. Usually I'm like, oh, those hips need to be worked out, you know. Flabby stomach over there, but yeah, it's interesting.
I used to have a lot of out of body experiences. They started when I was 18, as far as I'm conscious of, and they went into my 20s, and they were terrifying, to be honest.
Oh, really?
They were not pleasant. And the first one I recall, I was in Santa Monica. I had just come here from New York, and I couldn't wait to get to the beach. And I went to Santa Monica, and I fell asleep on the beach, and I remember seeing myself laying on the towel. And I didn't know how to get back in. And it was really scary because the body was not waking up.
Oh yeah, you're getting paralysis. What you want to do in a case like that is just focus on like a part of your body, like your feet, and say, I can feel my feet. And then what you're doing is you're putting your spirit self back into your feet, you're grounded. You know, but I've gone to different dimensions of the body too. Upper and lower. It's like real estate, location, location, location. I've seen like the lowest of the low and the highest of the high, you know. But, and usually when you go out of body, something to keep in mind, if it's not your time, you'll always go back to your body one way or the other. So you always have control. It's just commanding, your feet. But I will say, when I go out of body, like I have a chronic neck issue, I feel fabulous. My neck doesn't hurt. It's just amazing how you just feel so 100% healthy.
That's what I think your honey-do list will come in very handy. Because if you meditate and go out of body, you know, you might want to program Gabriel and the others to go in and fix these things.
I do. You're being psychic. I love it.
So when you come back, it's like the house is in order.
Let's hope. I have six kitties.
Yeah, they can, right? All those paws. Just think about what's possible.
First, exactly.
They could be meeting you while you're in there. Acupuncture and adjustment all at once.
Pussycat style. Just saying.
That's so good. Anything we need to know collectively? Anything right now that would help people right now?
You know, I would say everybody is in this big thing about politics, and you feel the anger. Listen, I'm an independent. I've never belonged to any organization or what have you. And eventually, that's where people are going to end up, in the middle, because everybody's going to be sick about this or that. And it's just take the best and leave the rest. You know, things work in cycles. You know, what goes up comes down. You know, even when the market's down, there's great buys. You know, so I mean,
that's true.
Can't get yourself all worked up, and then if all else fails, drink champagne. Just saying. Or chocolate.
What's your favorite thing to do when you're not working? What do you love to do?
You know, it's hard to say. I like to spend time with my friends, and I love to go out to eat and just, you know, catch up on everything and just, you know, shoot the shit, so to speak. Occasionally go see something, you know, the movies. But I can't stand a lot of violence these days. That really bothers me, especially when, you know, animals are involved or children. You know, there's no point. I mean, I think what we feed our brains, you know, eventually, you know, spits out in our world, so to speak, you know.
And so that we don't get to the other side and have to contact you and say, oopsie, or tell them I actually loved them, even though I was completely uninvolved in their lives. What can we do? What would you, from all your experience, what would you say, like, how can we show up our best selves, create big, awesome lives, be the best awesome us?
Well, I always tell people, treat people the way you want to be treated, and don't let anything hold you back, and just go for it, and just try to, you know, think about what can you do to make an improvement in the world each and every day. You know, look at those types of angles. You know, try to just put it out there. And not fear, either. Fear is a dirty four-letter word.
Yeah.
Like snow.
If you're from back east, you understand. It's not the stuff that just fell. It's been there a while. And cars have driven over it, and dogs have walked through it. Well, it's been incredible.
Thank you so much.
As always. And we're going to bring Rob Rowe from Shape Shifting Reality on, and we're just going to do a quick change here, and he's going to do the final half.
Kieran, so nice to see you again.
Likewise.
It's been a year, and here we are again.
We've come full circle.
Yeah. It's been a really interesting year for me. I'd like to touch base on a couple subjects that might be a little bit outside your wheelhouse. I don't know. I won't know until I ask. We've taken a great interest in shamanism over the past year.
That's a great art.
And it's kind of come out of sort of a calling that we both had simultaneously, you know, toward experiencing ayahuasca. So we did a little bit of that. We spent a week in Rhythmia in a very carefully and safely curated environment for that, and experienced the treatments and administrations and a supervision of very, very qualified shamans with very, very good results. There's so much around the spirit world and those who are deceased and extra-dimensional entities. It's really hard to kind of separate these things because it's all sort of, you know, part of the same web. Once you open yourself up to part of it, you kind of open yourself up to all of it. Would you agree?
Oh, totally, totally.
No, have you had any experience at all, say, working with animal spirits or plant spirits at all for, you know, healing purposes or for divination, asking questions and, you know, contacting, you know, spirit guides that might be of the plant or animal variety?
Oh my God, that's funny you should say that. In my readings, oftentimes I'll have an animal that may come in either because they were a pet or because they have something to offer in a more guided way in which you're talking about it. Many times when I'm doing readings too, I'll see plants that will come in, you know, on a psychic level that I need to impart to my clients so that they know that they could use this or that for whatever their, you know, needs can be. So it's interesting. And everything has a vibration. So I love, even when you, you know, rip a tomato from the vine, that energy is still there. It has its own, like, little spirit, so to speak. So there's always this overlap of connections from this world to that world in all different ways. It's kind of fascinating when you think about it. We're all, like, interconnected like a spider web.
Absolutely, I would agree.
But I don't like spiders.
I recently finished a really incredible book. Give a shout-out to Elliot Cowan. Elliot, if you're out there, love your book, man. He wrote a book called Plant Spirit Medicine.
And I've heard of it, yeah.
Fantastic book.
He's a
trained acupuncturist, and I'm sure he uses acupuncture in his practice, but I think what he mainly uses, by, you know, really understanding his reporting correctly, he mainly works with plant spirits. And there's a particular plant spirit, I can't remember the exact species, that acts as kind of a go-between. And he'll say, the spirit will say, okay, I see that your client has XYZ problem. I know just the guy for you. Let me go get Mr. Oak Tree or Mr. Fern or whatever it might be. And they can help you. So this one particular plant spirit would act as sort of an ambassador to the entire plant world to try to find out what sort of spirit might be very helpful. And as odd as that might sound to somebody who's never heard anything like that before, I had some personal experience with that. I've come to the conclusion that the plants that have been most closely related to humanity throughout our history, such as cannabis for one, aloe vera for another, certain types of cactus, perhaps the, you know, peyote cactus through Native Americans and so on, San Pedro cactus in, you know, Latin America. You know, I found that the aloe vera plant has an incredibly strong spirit.
Oh, it does. I would agree with you on that one. Totally.
I have a little dog named Ziggy who came up with a horrible cough. It seemed like a kennel cough anyway. It wasn't stopping. It wasn't just one of these things where they get something caught in their throat. It was like this horrible hacking type of cough. And you know, first thing I did was go out to my yard, took a little small cigar that I'd rolled out of some Costa Rican tobacco, went and blew it on the plant, took a little bit of rum and sprinkled it on the plant, and said, hey, look, man, I could really use a little help here. My dog's having some trouble. And he coughed a little bit more that night, but then after that, never again. And I was calling vets and that kind of thing. They go, oh yeah, sounds like kennel cough. You know, you better get some antibiotics and all that sort of thing. So I'll take it, you know. So yeah, if I guess the question would be, do Do you get much of that? Is that something you work with? Is that something you have interest in?
I have a big interest in. I have worked with that type of energy before, so I find it fascinating. And actually, if you take a look at Kirlian photography, where you usually get this in science class in high school, you cut like a leaf off, you can see the outline of the energy, which to me just kind of on the earth plane validates that there's something more energetic and more, individualistic when you have a plant, whether it's a leaf or whatever, you could actually see that there's some connection.
Okay.
I mean, I find it fascinating. I love aloe vera too. That's a great healer.
It really is. Yeah. It's such an amazing plant. Another thing that I found incredibly interesting, especially in this particular event here, we've got people that specialize in certain aspects of the big picture, mm-hmm. but those aspects are all very closely interrelated to other aspects of the big picture, like yourself, you're a medium and a psychic, so you maybe work with some future predictions, maybe indications of what might happen, and then of course you talked earlier about some of the police work, identifying things that might be not readily apparent to those of us that just work in the physical plane alone. But somebody had mentioned yesterday at your talk the whole subject of ETs, and you said, "Oh yes, they're here."
And
have you? Okay, so let's go there a little bit. I just came off of another fantastic audiobook by Whitley Strieber.
Oh, love him.
And good. And it was The New World. And in The New World, he had also mentioned a book called The Afterlife Revolution, which might be very much in your wheelhouse, because he talks extensively about the work he's continuing to do with his wife, even though she passed on in 2013. So their work with the ETs jointly through his whole journey ever since the 1970s, she was with him through all this, which of course started out in confusion and fear, and he gradually became more grounded with it, and then he became more at peace in communications and the different types of the ETs, and became kind of almost like sort of an ambassador or middleman to the human species. It's like, okay, what is it you guys really want? Okay, what is it we have that we can offer you? What is it you have you can offer us, and all of this? You have much experience in that world, or any thoughts on how we might use these kind of interactions to up our game?
I love that question. Actually, I did. I worked on set and Discovery Channel, and the project was actually shelved. We were down at Roswell, New Mexico, and I'll never forget, I was in my bed, getting ready for bed, just started to fall asleep, and somebody started poking me. I looked over, and there was like a 4-foot gray. I wasn't fearful, because there's different types of ETs, sure. Different planetary, some are good, some are bad. But I think at some point down the road, we're going to actually have an encounter. I mean, you look at mainstream, TV today, and now you're starting to get like little, trinkles of that information, which I think the government is slowly trying to prep us. And then at some point, on a larger level, the world will become aware of the fact that they really do exist. Our government's already working with them.
I'm sure.
They try to keep it from us, but... And I've seen other ETs, and they come both spiritually as well as physically. So there's two types, just like humans. You have like the human physical form, and then you have the human spirit.
Well, do you have any sense of the, I don't know if it's an either or, but the concept of an interdimensional relationship or an actual physical interplanetary relationship?
We have both. Totally. Because I've actually seen both, and I definitely see us psychically having that connection. And I think in the government world, I think there is an actual physical connection mm-hmm. that government officials have experienced, where I think people like myself have seen, the more ethereal version.
Do you feel like with the particular gifts you have, you have a role to play in, sort of being a human ambassador to, help move this relationship forward and help get a good, symbiotic exchange of what they want and what we want?
Another job for me. Okay. More work. I think to some extent, I think because I've had contact more on a psychic level. So I think for that type of species, definitely, I'm able to bring that information in and, put it out to where it needs to go from that perspective.
Do you have a sense of what it is they're looking for from us? Obviously, they're paying all this attention to us. They want something, right?
I think there's a big scientific lab. I think we're, in that type of arrangement. But I also think that there's other aliens that would like to just come over and take us over. you know, I think there's a good sect and then there's a bad sect, for lack of a better word, on a physical level. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, one sect wants to try to take us over. People are already embedded. You know, there are people that walk around that may look human, but they actually are alien species, just that have morphed into human.
No, Paula Harris spoke about it in detail just a little bit earlier today.
Oh, is there? I missed that.
Yeah. Very interesting talk. And then Linda Mouton Howell had a great thing yesterday. Yeah. So I guess she and Whitley know each other quite well. And they exchange a lot of information. So yeah, I've thought that was always an incredible thing. And
They walk amongst us.
Okay.
And then you also have various types. You have lizards, and then you have, you know, all sorts of unique species that have. So it's funny. We're like in the middle Earth.
So are there any things that, you know? Like, let's say to somebody like me, for example, I don't really have a lot of psychic gifts. I know a few things here and there. I wouldn't really say I'm very advanced in that realm, but I have a lot of awareness of what this stuff is about from all the, you know, information I've been consuming. Are there any things that somebody like me might do to further some communication, or maybe initiate some communication with them? A lot of people point lasers at the sky. I don't know if that really does anything.
And actually, your best bet is to meditate and put the intention out before you meditate, because what will happen is thoughts are things and thoughts will follow. So you can actually bring into more of the spiritual realm of ETs that way. The other thing, too, is that our thoughts are so sensitive out into the space that the physical ETs can easily pick up your thought waves as well, like a radio wave. So they'll be able to say, oh, Rob wants to make a connection. So by putting that intention out, and now they're becoming more open and more, easy to access. Those would be the two main ways of doing it.
Do you find that people create any kind of like a teacher-student type of relationship? Maybe you connect with a particular ET that, or interdimensional, whatever you want to consider, that might kind of become like your mentor, and you kind of have a connection together, and maybe you work with the same being as a spiritual guide or teacher type of relationship, only instead of dealing with a deceased relative or something like that, or some human mentor from the past, you're actually dealing with one of these entities. Do you ever see that happening?
I do see that happening, but there aren't a lot of hot ETs, sharing that moment.
Some of these people look quite attractive. So if you get the tall blonde ones, you don't the short blue ones. I don't think so.
You could easily work with a teaching student relationship with them.
Okay, oh, very cool. I've been very curious about your world. We talked a little bit last year about some of the fact that you have some ways of mentoring people. You do some maybe classes, online classes or something. Can you tell us a little bit about what does that look like if somebody wants to work with you? And probably most importantly, what would you look for in a student to say that, hey, you don't have it, but you've got some potential, that kind of thing?
Oh my God, I love when you say that, because when I've taught classes before, usually I'll do like an interview type of thing, a cattle call if you want to call it that, but I may have like 20 people. But if I see people that really shouldn't be, delving into this for whatever reason, maybe they really don't have potential, and you don't want somebody to go out there claiming that there's something that they're not, there are a lot of those people out there. Or maybe they're not stable enough. You really don't want to bring them in. A lot of people will bring them in just because they want the money or whatever. But for me, it's all about a good product. So if you're going to come in, you have to have the right frame of mind. You have to have the raw potential and have, niceness about you. And then I'll bring you in. I've told no to people in the past. No, I don't think this is really for you. Go find somebody else or whatever. And it's just you don't want to have recklessness out there, because it's tough as it is as a psychic, because you get a lot of people, that are poo-pooing you and skeptics, which who cares, but you don't want to add to that. So I'm very fussy. But if people want to know more, they can always go to the website. I'm not teaching classes at the moment, but I'll be teaching again probably in the next, 9 months when my schedule gets a little bit lighter.
Okay.
But it's pretty tough though. I'm not like the, I'm not one of these easy peasy, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it right,
What would be maybe one of your success stories from a student? Have you seen people go from maybe just having a slight inkling of some psychic abilities to actually being able to do things on a reliable basis?
I have. And what I love about that is when you see people with really good raw talent and you're able to help them cultivate it to the next level, And then they're passionate and they have great outcomes. And, you know, this younger male came, and this is probably about 15 years ago, but he was in my class and he had had a car accident and some health issues, so he wasn't working, but he actually had raw talent. But when he came to me, he was at a low point, and anyways, he took the coursework, he did a great job, and then he ended up going off on his own doing a good practice. And what he does is legit, and he's passionate, and that was really, and actually with his abilities too, he's able to enhance his own, you know, physical pain that he was suffering from, so improved his health. So that was a really beautiful story.
Nice.
Yeah.
I wonder if I might hit you up for a little bit of a personal observation, if you know, I mean, since we're here. I'm very interested in just learning more about myself, just to be a better human being. And just wondering, is there anything that you might be able to observe about me that would be useful to me now? Maybe in anything in regards to my childhood or, you know, dealings with my parents or anything like
that?
It's
funny, because I was just going to say, your mother says you're perfect. I go, boys are always perfect.
Mom, much appreciated. But,
Dave says, see, you are the favorite one. See? Who's Leo, by the way?
I am a Leo.
Oh, you are the Leo. Oh, okay, because David said Leo. I wasn't sure. Oh, that's so you're a Leo sign.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what your brother's saying. Well, happy, you know, birthday ahead of time, he said to tell you. He's laughing at that. You're very creative, and you're going to be doing a lot more with your creativity. And I get a lot of cooking with you, too. So if you're not cooking and baking, that's something in your future. Do you like doing that?
I do.
You do?
Yeah. Big fan.
Boy.
We get along great.
I don't even know how to spell the word cook. Your family's laughing. I did see a new door opening, too, with some business opportunities into the future, which I think will be very profitable for you.
In what kind of fields?
In your music business.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what your brother just said.
Oh, speaking of which, can you ask him things?
Yeah, you could ask him and I'll answer.
All right. So David, your main instrument was piano. You played some oboe and you played some clarinet. In the afterlife, for lack of a better term, what is it like there in terms of musical progression? Are there instruments there that we've never heard of? Or are there earthly instruments there that you can still do some work on? How does it work there?
Dave said all of the above, and he says it's fantastic, and the sounds are impressive, and they're beyond what you can even imagine in this world. So, which makes sense. I have no ear for music, but on the other side, everything is like on steroids. Pink is really pink, you know. Roses may be this big, this wide. By the way, do you like marshmallows, or did you make like an ambrosia salad or something, or fruit salad?
Yeah, I try to stay away from
that. That's what your mother say?
That type of food. But, you know, I'll grab a cookie or a muffin from time to time if I'm in a mood of decadence, but you know, marshmallows kind of.
Like an ambrosia fruit salad she's talking about?
Yeah, try to stay away.
You're no fun. That's what your mom said. the other thing too, I saw a trip to England though. Were you thinking about taking a trip over to the UK?
Well, I admire the immense history there,
you know,
the great beauty places like Scotland and Ireland, so green and all of that, you know. So I'd love to. You know what? I get incredible travel fantasies every time I fire up a Windows 10 computer, because I've always got those amazing, and then you can kind of guide the direction, and I like this, I like that. So I always give them good feedback on anything that's architectural history. You know, cathedrals, castles, old lighthouses, you know, Celtic old ruins, things like that. I mean, I love that stuff.
Oh, total past life, because you have so many lifetimes with your brother David.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, and I just saw you going up to the Borealis and going up through Scandinavia at some point in your life, too. That'll be fun.
Tell me more about what we've done together. That's fascinating to me, because, you know, when we were, you know, little kids, I was probably kind of an asshole. I picked on him a little bit. I was a couple of years older than him. But what was the saddest part of losing him is about our past 2 years together, we really bonded. And we really got to be good friends. And I got to be thinking, wow, it'll be so cool to go through life with this guy who's my brother and also just a great friend, you know. So that was part of the sadness. But I know from the visit we had, I told you about, it was 3 weeks after his death. I mean, I was totally fine with it. You know, he was, you know, moving on to some other things. But yeah, if there's anything that you can pick up about anything that we've done together in the past, it'd be quite interesting.
Yeah, he's talking about a lot of different things, but one of the things he's talking about is something with water. Do you like to surfboard or something, or have you thought
it's
about
a lot of scuba diving? Okay. I think I used to surf.
Oh, is that, yeah, because it says you're really good with water related, like surfing and what have you, so on and so forth. He says that's very good for you. He's talking really fast. So is your mom talking too. I'm like, everybody
needs to leave. Calm down.
Your dad's laughing. He's being noisy, though, your father said to say. Do you have to do some work around the house too, some carpentry work? You have to use your hammer to do something?
Well, I got a few chores that have been lagging for sure.
Yeah, do you have to fix like a window or a door too, your dad said? Like a knot or a handle, yes.
Well, more so some wall things.
Yeah,
and maybe some paint, paint work.
Then you got to do something with the door too, Dad said, a hinge or a handle, because he says, fix the door, fix the door.
The gate.
The gate
has some hinges that need attention.
Boy, your father's on it. Yeah. Big time. Mr. Yeah, and Dave's laughing. He goes, oh, incidentally, I've been your brother in every single life. You go back to the ancient Israeli. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So if you ever find these scenes interesting, you know, you weren't in the scene, but you kind of lived in that era, which would have been, I don't know, whatever, 2,000 years ago. So your brother Dave's very proud of you. Were you just looking at something that belonged to your brother, like a watch or a keychain or something, or reminded you of David? Something
I don't have any really of his possession. I got a good picture of him.
Were you looking at that recently?
Oh, I look at it every night.
Oh, that's what he's talking about. He's just looking at me and he's going like this. I couldn't tell what he was talking about, like all the time. Yeah, well, he said every night.
Yeah. Here's what I get some objections about, you know, to have family pictures in the bedroom. But I'm a big fan because it's kind of like my little shrine. Got some mom pictures, some dad pictures, and so on.
It's a place of intimacy. And then there's dead family members looking over you. And I just thought feng shui-wise, it might be very beneficial. They can be in the house, but maybe just not in the bedroom.
Their own room is what you're saying. Yeah.
But
David's laughing.
It has helped connect us in some dreams.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah, so it's part of my, you know, little rituals. I'll sometimes like just go over and touch the pictures and then go, hey guys, I'm going to bed now. Anything you want to tell me, let me know. I'm listening. But another thing, a family thing, this is really a little bit sad. I wonder if you might have any thoughts on this. My daughter had a baby in August. So
I
am now
that little
officially
Leo baby.
A grandfather.
Oh my God, congratulations. Yeah. David is smiling about that.
Yeah. Now, you know, the sad thing is, I've never had a bad relationship with my daughter, but I probably haven't been as present as I probably could have been. We've always, you know, lived different places. We've kind of been like friends who talk to each other from time to time. Sometimes a couple months will go by and text and say, hey, how you doing? But right around sometime in December, she had sent me a letter, handwritten on a card, and she said, you know, our relationship has sometimes caused me pain and frustration. I need to take some time off, give me some space. And then she mentioned her daughter and something about, because our relationship has been tumultuous, I don't know if I want my daughter to be around that right now. So she didn't say, I'm cutting you off. She said, love Sammy. But I haven't talked to her in a couple months because of that. I'm just, is there anything that you might pick up as far as anything I might do to salvage that relationship?
Yeah, you need to pick up the phone and you just need to tell her, I love you. I'm sorry that things weren't, I've always loved you. Maybe my intentions didn't come across that way. And maybe I wasn't the best father, but you've always been my number one. And she does love you deeply. Who's Cody or Coco or?
Molly?
No.
That's her wife.
Yeah, who's CO? There's like a, just like a Corey, there's a CO around her. Is it a dog or a friend first? Coco, Corey, Cody?
There's a Corey that one of my cousins has a daughter named Corey, but I'm kind of not in touch with her anymore.
No, just keep that around your daughter. It's probably like a Corey or Cody. I kept seeing like a CEO around her. Okay. Maybe like a kitty or a doggy coming her way. But I do see improvement, but you're going to have to work at it.
Okay.
But I'll give you a good prayer. And your daughter really loves you deeply. That baby's cute, by the way. And David said she's beautiful and a good baby.
Yeah, she is. Any parting words for the listeners of the Shapeshifting Reality podcast? Our tagline is the crossroads of science and spirituality.
Oh, I love it. Where the two shall meet. Well, I think that, you know, it's like the Bible, you know, the Old Testament is the New Bible, you know, revealed, and the New Testament is the Old Bible concealed. I think that's how they say it. So it's always funny how there's always connections despite what people might think. Onward and upward, though. You got great energy.
Awesome. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
To contact the award-winning syndicated Dare to Dream radio show, go to debbiedashinger.com. K keep your excellent feedback and comments coming. Your host, Debbie Dashinger, is an expert at goal achievement, a media personality, an international best-selling author, and a keynote speaker. Debbie leads high-quality teleseminars on how to achieve goals, how to be a self-published best-selling author, and how to get booked on radio. All classes are at DebbieDashinger.com. Debbie's best-selling books are Dare to Dream, This Life Counts, sold on Amazon, and her second book, Wisdom to Success, The Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams, sold online at all bookstores. Tune in again to hear the next inspiring interview guest who has turned their vision into a successful reality. Want more support in making your dreams come true? Go to DebbieDashinger.com. That's www.DebbieDashinger.com. You'll see videos, MP3s, archived interviews, and amazing products sharing the secret steps to making your dreams come true. Remember to dream big with every expectation that your dream will become real. Dreams are free, so free your dreams. What do you dare to dream?
Here I'm standing now, waiting for my time to be all that I can be. It's so easy to forget, life is in my hands, and I can change it if I want. Nothing's impossible anymore.